Our phone number is 001. That's U.S. code 001-843-701-5053. You can call that number anytime, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. That telephone number again is U.S. code 1-843-701-5053. I'd appreciate it if you're listening at this time on this particular frequency or station, if you just take the time to contact us, even now if you can. Remember, the website is www.overcomerministry.org. The phone number is U.S. code 1-843-701-5053. When you call, an answering machine will answer. You'll get a short greeting from me, then you may begin to speak. You have 2 minutes. Give us your message, your information, or your questions. God bless you. Jesus is coming. This is important for you to know as you hear this broadcast, for which we broadcast here on this station. Prepare to meet your God. Maranatha.
Prophets. They have Moses and the prophets.
Therefore saith the Lord God, it is now the time that I have spoken, and it shall come to pass, saith God, when throughout all the world there will be chaos, there will be floods and famines and earthquakes and fires and plagues on every side. You have chosen to serve Satan, so therefore at the hand of Satan you shall enjoy his benefits of sin and destruction and death and dying. You have chosen him as your God and not the Almighty Yahweh, and Satan comes only to kill and to destroy and to rob, and so shall it be. No longer shall it be prolonged.
Any way to show you to turn away from God. Whatever happens to me, I will always tell you when I'm strong, when I'm weak, when I'm up, when I'm down, when I'm right, when I'm wrong. And the sad part about it is, I'm always wrong, and God's always right. And I stand in defense of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of it, for it, the gospel, is the power of God, the end of all arguments and debates. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. I'm a testimony to that, continuously, every single day. Glory be to God. I stand in defense of the gospel. You see, my friends, I am under attack almost every hour of every day. Brother Mark came to me today and said, I think I know that fellow who's always saying those things about you. Said, he's listening all the time. All the time. He's so sinful. He's so wicked. And if he listens to me, he would find that there's even hope for him if he would turn to Christ in repentance. My friends, my dear brothers and sisters, listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. Listen to the words of Jesus. Where are thine accusers? Where are they? How dare anyone accuse you of sin when they're in sin? How dare any of them? The only one that had a right to do it was Jesus, and he did not exercise the right. Where are thine accusers? I don't have any. They were here a moment ago, but you run them off. No, I didn't. I didn't run them off. I just said, he without sin among you, cast the first stone. Go ahead. You think it's right to do it? Go ahead, do it. And they actually condemned themselves because they went away. They went away. And I've often told you the story about that. They began to leave from the eldest to the youngest. You know why? Because the old fellow said, he got us. The young one said, nah, he ain't got me yet. But as he was standing there waiting, it wasn't long that it fell right down on them. You think you have a right to stone this woman? Well, you don't. The only way you're going to have a right to condemn her or to judge her is to be without sin. And I'm the only one, Jesus said, here without sin. Woman, where are your accusers? I have none, Lord. You've got rid of them all. Well, then I'll tell you something, woman. Neither do I condemn thee. Now, I can tell you right away what these vipers are going to do. Yeah, but he said, go and sin no more. Right, right. And I'm going right back to what I talked to you about. There is a sin. Don't commit that sin again. Don't believe that you can commit sins and not be forgiven, because you're going to have to be forgiven. You are going to have to. So go and sin no more. And don't commit the sin of unbelief, the sin that does so easily beset us, distract us, destroy us. If thou canst believe all things, wow, here it goes again, God, and there they are, all over the world right now, and right here, among my kinfolk and my friends. I can hear them. I can hear them, God, as they still want to bite and devour, as I'm striving with everything to keep the lively hope in men's soul. the hope of eternal life, the hope of the resurrection, the hope of Jesus coming to restore, to finish the work. And they oppose that? What better example could I be? Because I've been there. I've been in every sin, even the one they're doing. I remember I used to preach against preachers and condemn them. I don't do that no more. They'll condemn themselves. You go on, do it if you want to. But I am going to preach to this generation the cross. I'm not ashamed of it. For by it, I am crucified to the way the world thinks, the way the world does, the way the world does things, the way they act, the way they think. And just like I said to somebody the other day, you hollering adulterer, and then you're a friend of the world, and you get along with the world, and you can work with the world. You don't know you not that you are an adulterer? You are a fornicator? You're a friend of the world? At the expense of being a friend of God? Or having God as your friend? You better repent. And the answer is very clear. Except you repent, you will perish in your own judgment. You will be condemned under your own condemnation. I have told people for years around here, and I tell you the truth. Anytime that God does permit you to identify sin in someone else, He's telling you that there's sin in you. And if you do see a brother sin, a sin that is not unto death, what you are to do is you ask God to give him life, and he will give it to him. That's your role as an intercessor. And we are all intercessors, you know. Where are the intercessors, God said? Those that will intercede and say, Father, have mercy, help them. I got so many people around here struggling with their own personal relation with God. And every time I make a judgment, I've learned a long time ago that if you judge without mercy, if you tell somebody that they're in sin and you forget mercy, you're going to be judged without mercy. I've been there, and I'm telling you, even right now, I'm making judgments on some of you folks that's listening to me. But in this, I stand in defense of the gospel. God's mercy endureth forever. Now that's sound doctrine. That's the sound truth. Glory be to God. He who knew no sin, he became sin. Isn't that something? Why don't you bear the burden of your brother's sin and carry it to Jesus? Why don't you bear the burden of your brother's iniquity? I do. God lays on me my own iniquity. He lays your iniquity. He lays on us the iniquity of us all. And if we allow iniquity to justify ourselves and condemn others, well, not condemn it. Come on, brothers. When you tell somebody and sister that there's no hope for if they do this or do that, that ain't what the Bible says. Jesus said all manner. I don't care what kind of connotation you put upon it. All manner of sin shall be forgiven a man. I know what it says. Except, all manner of sin shall be forgiven a man except the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. What does that mean, to blaspheme the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost was sent to lead you, to comfort you, to strengthen you, to direct you, to convict you. And you resist him? And you try to do what only the Holy Ghost can do? He has a devil. My God. This is a dangerous time. I can tell you right now, there ain't too many of you jumping up and down with this message. that every one of you who have been truly washed in the blood and have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, you ought to rejoice in that, and rejoice also when your brother and your sister walk in that truth. I stand in defense of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto everyone that will believe it. I believe it. Do you? The Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on all those that know not God and obey not the gospel. Repent you and believe the gospel, the good news. Come, Lord Jesus.
Coming Russian nuclear attack on America. December 14th, 1985. Henry Groover. I saw a massive military movement coming out of an area up by the Arctic, and I couldn't figure out what this was, what was going on, why a military, navy, and air force, why it would be going out between the United States and Europe, up above Finland, going out through the Icelandic Gap, and heading down between the United States and Europe, and making a curl all the way around the Horn of Africa, towards the Persian Gulf. Now that's significant. But all of a sudden I was alarmed because of that. You would have been too. I looked over towards the United States, and I saw something I have never seen in my life. I have never even preconceived the thought of it. I had always thought that the United States was wiser and more powerful, and to allow Russian subs to be parked right almost on our beaches per se. What I mean by that is you could see the submarines down under the water, but there were areas that the sand still had drifted on down from the beaches into the depths. And the submarine was sitting there aimed at America. I saw them sprinkled all the way across the East Coast. When I saw that, my family at that time lived in Portland, Oregon. I was alarmed, of course, and I wanted to look over towards Portland to see what was going on. And as I looked across the continent of the United States, of this globe, I saw the submarines from way up by Washington, the top of Washington, all the way down around towards San Diego, poised in the same way all the way along our coast on the north, from the Pacific side. And something else caught my attention. I began to see radio towers going up all across the nation, and these radio towers, as they went up, the dotted lines began going out as though they were transmitting, and there an alarm went off in me. They're sounding the alarm. We are going to be under attack. The siege has been waged. When all of a sudden I was watching these radio dots going out like the transmitting of a warning, and instead of the people being warned, they sprinkle to the ground like dust. And an alarm went off in me, and I cried out in the heavens, and I said, oh God, they won't even know what. And at that time all of a sudden I looked down on the eastern seaboard at the submarine was drawn to that one right off from New York City, and I saw the missile come right out of that submarine, and go right up and come right over the city of New York, and the entire city disappears. And I looked down, on down towards Florida, down there, I could see another explosion take place. I looked across because of my family being in the Pacific Northwest. I looked across, another explosion took place up by Seattle/Bellevue. And then another one down by San Francisco. And another one down towards Los Angeles, and another down towards San Diego. There I stood in shock as I watching these explosions take place, and these cities literally disappearing from off the face of the earth. The next instant I was standing back down on the Eagle Tower, and I found myself looking down in the village. There was no alarm going off, the cars were going the normal speed, people were walking. I looked out over the bay where there were some British ships, warships. And I watched them, and studied them for a few seconds, there was no alarm there. And I found myself saying this, oh God, if this has not happened, what will be the sign of it and of its time? God spoke to my spirit, and these were the words he says, December the 14th, 1986, before Glasnost, Perestroika, the Berlin Wall was still up, the Cold War was still in full around. We supposedly her gates and lets the masses go. The free world will occupy themselves with transporting, housing, and caring for the masses. We'll begin letting their weapons down, crying peace and safety. And that's when it will happen. Now the question I submit to you is this. Where are we on that scenario? Where are we in that prophetic timetable? Is that vision being fulfilled before our eyes? Are we seeing it literally take place? The bear has become enormous, and the bear is in cahoots with the Arab countries, 12 to 14 of them, and there is high activity, then, and out of sight. It's January of this year. It looked like we were going to build up again and have another desert storm, didn't it? And I cried out to the Lord because I was getting ready to go to Europe, and the Lord said, tell the people that this is not the real thing. This is only a policing action. There will be policing actions, but watch. Because that it will happen what you said. And I said, we will be drawn again to the Middle East en masse. We will be drawn to conflicts like Bosnia and like Taiwan and like North Korea. Conflicts are going to come up to draw us away from home base, to deplete our home defense mechanism. That's the strategy. And revolution breaks loose inside of our nation. Why? To throw us into chaos and confusion. Because out of confusion and chaos, the communist system says they gain strength and power. And I've shown you that in the mentality of these people. They don't mind revolution. They don't mind it at all. This is some of the things that we are facing. We are facing very serious times.
Henry Groover. Henry Groover spoke those words back in the 80s. Dimitri Duderman, Brother Stair. We did not declare it identically, and yet we declared it identically. The destruction of America. This is Tuesday, November the 5th. I was sitting here in the radio room looking at a lot of the supposedly Christian broadcasting. I read where Billy Graham had been declared by many preachers as the prophet to America. But that can't be so, because Billy Graham was never a prophet. Never. And he's a Baptist. Baptists don't believe in prophets. And so Billy Graham prophesying a great spiritual awakening. As I watch and listen to these men do these things, I just sat back in my chair as they talk about a great spiritual awakening, America coming back to God. I said, God, am I wrong? Did I miss this? It just stirred me deeply inside. Because this ministry that I am part of has been raised up by God at this hour to speak about the near coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know why these people are always trying to tell us that we're going to have revival, America's going to be spared, and these things are not going to happen. Because that's not what the Holy Spirit has taken to me. So as I was sitting here weeping in my spirit, have I been wrong, God? Seems like everyone else has another message. They talk about the troublesome times. They talk about the mark of the beast. They talk about the tribulation. Then they tell us we're going to be called out and we're not going to have to endure anything. And have I been wrong, God? And as I was sitting here searching, up in front of me popped the vision of Henry Groover. You see what he's done? He's prophesied in his vision of the destruction of American cities by nuclear bombs. Anybody ever listened to me on that? How many times have I told you that America is going to be brought down? Our cities are going to be demolished. Our nation is going to be destroyed. Millions are going to die. At the top of the domino of the pyramid of the final New World Order comes crashing down before it ever gets set up.
You notice how he mentions the Middle East and how he mentions Desert Storm and how he told you about the downfall of the Berlin Wall. Does anybody remember how I spoke about it? Told you how the Soviet Union would be no more and out of it would come the Russian bear. Do you know that just recently the Russian submarines were blatantly sighted off of our coast in Florida and in... to the Overcomer radio broadcast and the voice of the last day prophet of God, the prophet sent by God to preach the coming of Jesus Christ to the whole world and to every nation. Today, now, is this scripture being fulfilled in your ear. My name is Brother Stair. My contact address for you to write a letter, send your support, you just address your letter to The Overcomer, Post Office Box 691 in Walterboro, South Carolina, in the United States of America. That's Walterboro, W-A-L-T-E-R-B-O-R-O, Walterboro, South Carolina, and the zip code is 29488. Our contact telephone number that you can call any hour of the day, 24 hours a day, you just dial U.S. code 1-843-701-5053. Once again, U.S. code 1-843-701-5053. Our website is very informative. If you have access to the internet, just go to www.overcomerministry.org. You can actually listen to The Overcomer off of the website all the time. You can go to our contact page, and there you can make contact with me by an email address. The website is www.overcomerministry.org. Stay with The Overcomer. Hear the prophet of God, and prepare to meet your God. Maranatha.
In the Gulf of Mexico, are you aware that the Chinese now have blatantly moved their submarines off the west coast around Hawaii and even let them be known and seen? What is going on, friends? Are you going to be disillusioned by this mesmerizing politics that's going on in America? Jesus is coming, and before he comes, there's going to be a day of darkness and gloominess and destruction, climaxed by the final glorious revelation of Christ from heaven, and the time is drawing so very, very near. You're listening to Brother Stair. I'm old now. I look around and I watch my family, my kinfolk, my brothers and sisters, and daily, I'm always on them to try to make them not lose the sharpness and the witness that God gave us as he brought us to this place and sends us forth to preach the coming of Jesus Christ, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is a day of destruction. Woe be unto you, the Bible said, who desire the day of the Lord. It's the last day. There'll be no more night after this night season is over, because the night and the darkness and the dark sayings and the evil of this world is going to be put down, and Satan and all of those that sided with him are going to be cast into hell, where there is outer darkness, darkness like they've never.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
I was kind of troubled as I look around. Seems like there's hardly any men or preachers who want to talk about prophecy in the end times, will emphasize the reason for the prophecies of the end time. And the reason for the prophecies of the end time has to do with the end time, the coming of Jesus Christ. The prophet of God that you listen to has one primary calling and anointing, and that's to purify the message of God, to purify the sons of Levi who've been corrupted and polluted by the world system and world religions, and to make a people ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember some years ago, and I was sitting in our old tabernacle one night and had a little group of people there with me, and all at once I heard God speak to my heart. I'll never forget it. He said, "Son, do you know or realize that there was not one of my disciples or apostles waiting for me when I came out of the tomb? Not a one. Not one of them. Even though he had told him what was going to happen to him, and he mentioned it over and over again, the third day I will rise again." Now here we are, my friends, in biblical chronological order and time, we are coming to the third day. We are already in the night season. We've already passed the midnight hour, and we are fastly approaching the fourth watch of the night in the midst of this storm of tribulation that so many of these preachers want to tell you that the church is not going to have to endure. I wonder when you people are going to realize that the preachers are lying, that tribulation has been ordained of God for the people of God. Did you hear me? Sometimes when I'm watching the news about the corruptions going on in America, I say, why are the people so naive? You know, they keep talking about how they're breaking the law, and yet they turn around and still vote them in and still stand by them. That's because they're all of the devil, and they love the darkness that's being perpetuated. Is that what you people who love the darkness, when these preachers tell you, contrary to the word of God, that we are going to go through tribulation? Jesus even said that before he left. He said, in this life, you are going to have tribulation. Tribulation is not the wrath of God. It's God putting you through a purifying, testing place to purify your heart, to cleanse your spirit, to perfect that which is lacking in your faith, so that you'll be able to stand and look for him when he comes. Son, he said, not one of my disciples was waiting for me when I came out of the tomb. How that smote my heart. At this second coming of Jesus Christ, there is going to be a few waiting, looking, anticipating, and expecting Jesus to come. And when these preachers don't focus in on that, the coming of Christ, and prepare you to endure unto the end, they are liars. God said, I never sent them. And I can't for the life of me understand why many of you continually support them and receive them and give them strength. Certain men crept in on your TVs, in your pulpits, in your hearts, in your mind. These are ungodly men. They turn the grace of God into foolishness. They mock God's grace. I was listening to a man tonight, again trying to tell people that there was a sin that the blood would not cover. And I thought to myself, you are sinning, sir.
You are one of those guys that you keep the law, and you are sinning. And if the blood doesn't cover your sin, you are going to be lost. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. All you people out there, how you judge and condemn folk for sin while you're sinning with your most rebellious house. Well, I was kind of disturbed, and I prayed about it. Oh God, I spent all these years and all this money. I got a handful of people here who are hanging on because they still believe, or you believe for them. Give us some kind of assurance, Father, that this is not all in vain. And then I received a beautiful, beautiful email that encouraged my heart. Last time, overcomeministry.org. Your brother's there. God bless you, servant of the Lord. I wept, brother, because you reminded me where I came from and where I could have been. Like that blind man, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Psalms 40, chapter 2. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, established my goings. And Brother Stair, I remember when you changed my name to Nahum. Now you all know who has wrote this email. And, of course, he's written quite a few lately since he's moved into the area with his wife and three children. Nahum is a Korean. He was born in Korea, as far as I can see. I'll make a comment on that. He says, I did not realize that when you changed my name to Nahum, that the name meant Holy Spirit or Comforter. As I wrote to you before, the Lord told me that His word is in your mouth. He also told me that if I want to hear Him, then I should hearken unto your voice. One other thing He told me was that I should uphold the hands of the servant, the prophet. Consequently, I inquire of the Lord time to time about what is going on so I can uphold your hands. Believe it or not, brother, I'm sometimes led of the Lord to write an email to you. I sit in front of the computer, though, for hours at a time because I do not know what to write. Then God helps me to write. I realize I have written you many words. Nevertheless, I meant what I have written to you, and I am very sincere. Whether these words are true or not, only the time will tell, because I don't know my own heart. I thank the Father for His enduring mercy and long-suffering despite my iniquity and my sins. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. You have already know, brother, Matthew 10:36. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. You have no problem with the world, but those who are closer to you cause you grief and heartache. Lamentations 3, 32 and 33. But though he cause grief, yet he will have compassion according to the multitude of his mercy. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. You also know, brother, that God is not having any problem with the world, but he has grief and anguish over his people. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan came also among them. Prophet, you know Satan actually had the right to be there because he was a son of God in the beginning. However, Satan despised his birthright, just like Esau. Truly, there really is spiritual wickedness, Brother Stair, in high places, even in the house of God. because that is where Satan used to sit and dwell. Ephesians 6 and 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You're so right about that, brother. I've quoted that scripture. And how about the spiritual wickedness in the high-mindedness of God's people? Oh, my friends, this is such a deceitful time. In the days of Moses, it reads in Numbers 16, 1 and 5, "Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Pelah, the sons of Reuben, they took men, and they rose up against Moses, with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly," now coming right out of Israel, "famous in the congregation, men of renown, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, 'You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore, then lift up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord.'" Why are you doing this and lifting yourself higher? When Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. He spake unto Korah and to all of his company, saying, "Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy. He will cause them to come down near unto him, even him whom he hath chosen, will he cause to come near unto him." As you see in these scriptures, brother, people that really rebelled against Moses, they were not just common people. They were princes and elders of the congregation. What is interesting that even though Moses had right to rebuke and stand his ground, because he knew God was with him, he humbled himself down to fall on his face, to plead with the princes to turn from their wicked ways. Numbers 16, 8 and 10. Moses said unto Korah, "Hear, I pray you, you sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, that God chose you to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And he brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and now you seek the priesthood also? Yet they repented not." And their reply, Numbers 16, 13. "It is a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us." You know the end of this rebellion, brother? It has to be this way because God is purging and purifying his house from the top to the bottom. All these too shall pass, and God will deliver you, servant of God. One more thing, Brother Stair. I graduated at the top of the class in South Korea out of close to 1,000 students in my school. I have won many top honors in my short lifetime. However, I count it all dung. As you have said many times, I really know nothing at all. I only know what you tell me and what God showed me. I do love you very much because you love me and you watch over my soul. I believe we are all still here because you prayed to the Father for our sake. Moses prayed for his people, and God kept them for his righteousness' sake. Romans 8, 27, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." You are the last day prophet of God. And Lord, God will be your help. God will not deny himself. God before you, who can be against you? Contend for the faith that God's given you.
because there is a day coming shortly when you can say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. Blessed be the name of our Lord. Jesus Christ is coming in our lifetime. May we prepare to meet and be ready with the directions and leadership from the prophet. God bless you, Brother Stair. God bless you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Spirit of God, for the comfort of the word. Father, I pray for those that do listen to me, for those that are abandoning their own will. I pray, Lord. I pray for the remnant. It's like I often say to my wife, God don't just restore her. He doesn't restore me. If he doesn't restore me, he doesn't restore anybody. The Bible says you're going to restore all things. And one of my favorite restoration scriptures and found in the book of Job, in the book of Joel, where you said, I will restore the years. Oh, how many years Satan has taken us apart and challenged us and left us ragged and wounded and bruised. Stole our faith, stole our confidence. But you're going to restore it along with the joy. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, give us some uplifting assurance, a renewal of the resurrection and the coming of Jesus Christ so that we can truly sing it. It will be worth it all when we see Christ. I ask this in Jesus' name. And for thy glory, amen and amen.
The Bible tells us in one place, we ought to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. I quoted that scripture many times because I wasn't really walking in the fear of the Lord many times. And the things that were happening to me and to others, it didn't cause me to tremble. I think it was the Apostle Paul speaking to Felix one time, one of the Roman rulers, and it said Felix trembled. I think the jailer in Acts chapter 16, the Bible said, and he, trembling, came in and fell down. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Those are two things that are very well absent from the supposed people of God who profess to be saved. They don't have the fear of God, neither do they tremble at the events, good or bad, that's happening to them or to the world, because they think they are going to go flying on into the kingdom. Early this morning, I had the word of God again, and I'm not going to apologize to you, reprobates. You apostates, you stubborn house. I had the word of God like the prophets of old, and the word of God came on to me saying, I have the Spirit of God again take the word of God that's been in my heart since I was a lad. The scriptures that God placed upon me right in the beginning when he put his word in my mouth. And then he began to reveal the scriptures or the message or the intent of the word. He said to me again, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the sinners and the ungodly appear? They won't appear in judgment. Some of you people don't understand, fools don't understand time and judgment. Judgment is an event or thing that uses time to try you. That's why we're in this holding pattern, so to speak, of waiting. We're being judged. Everyone, The Apostle Paul used a phrase like this, knowing the terror of the Lord, that every man is going to give an account. Knowing the terror of the Lord, that every man is going to give an account of the things done in his body, whether they be good or evil. You mean God's going to make you give an account for the good things you have done? Absolutely. Because most men think that their good things make them acceptable to God, when God made it very clear that it's not by any works of righteousness that we have done. On righteousness, but it said any works of righteousness. Every man doing that which is right in his own eyes, and the ends thereof are the ways of death. Instead of bringing you closer to God, your works separate you from God. It's amazing, huh? But how does anybody understand that? You know how far from God you are, sir, ma'am? Do you know how far you are, and now you are being confronted by your adversary, the devil? And he's prevailing. He seems to have the inside track. All the time, that's all I hear from caller after caller, letter after letter, from rich and poor, great and small. The Antichrist spirit, we have bowed down to it. We have learned the way of the heathen. And that's the result of the Laodicean church, rich and increased with God, good, with goods. So rich are we, especially in America. And when you hear from even those around the world who are the affluent, who are the elect, who are the highbrows, they just don't think they need God. And people today, they join the church and they do a lot of good things, and they don't need God to save them. They're going to save themselves by their good works, by their keeping of the law, by doing good. Now, I heard the Spirit of God again say to me today, and the word of the Lord came unto me, the prophet of God. I heard him say to me again, the righteous will scarcely be saved. Wow. You don't think that applies to those that are living now? The righteous who are dead in Christ, they're saved. They're done. Their work's over. They have ceased from their labors to enter into God's rest, and they will rise on that resurrection day. But what about those that are still alive and remaining, and every single moment, every single deed, every source that's coming against the working of God in you, and how we use it against each other? If the righteous scarcely be saved. You hear that? You mega church, you I'm a child of God, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm filled with heaven's sweet Holy Ghost, I talk in tongues, I've been baptized in Jesus' name, and I don't need anybody else to tell me anything, because I'm going into the kingdom. Yes, sir. You sinner. You sinner when you even say words like that. If the righteous scarcely be saved. What about you, Brother Stair? Well, I believe I'm a righteous man, not by my own righteousness, though. I believe I'm like Noah, that God has deemed me, or redeemed me, or restored me to righteousness, his righteousness, not mine. Not mine, because I, as a man, have never done anything right except to go to the righteous God in humbleness of heart, and say, I need you. I need you. And may God always help me to humble myself down and from my heart say to everyone, I need God. If there was ever a prophet that ever walked on the face of this earth, who needs God. I need God. And there will not be an hour of my day or night when I'm conscious, when I will say, God, I've been saying things that you told me to say. It doesn't look like I said the truth. And they're mocking me. They're scoffing me. They mock the messengers of God. They do it by their stupidity, by their willing ignorance. And you can't pass it because they are willingly ignorant. They don't want to know. My people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge because they don't want to know the truth. Even though God said, you should know the truth and it will make you free. Free from what? Free from sin. Free from doubting. Free from fear. Free from unbelief. Oh my. And you don't think you need help in that? Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Now, believe it or not, some believe and some believe not. I was sitting here yesterday reading the last chapter of the book of Acts that ended the itinerary of the Apostle Paul. He was allowed to live in his own house while he was waiting for his appeal before Caesar, which finally made it, and he was then beheaded for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And while he was doing that, he was busy taking in those who would come to hear of the Christ that he preached. For 2 years he did that, knowing that his judgment was going to come. For 2 years. The Bible would say, some believed, and some believed not. You wonder sometimes how anybody would not believe Paul, because that's what he was, a man of experience. He knew Christ. He met Christ. He saw Christ. He had the Holy Ghost. He suffered in his body. He bore the marks of his identity with Christ. And surely they would believe. But like his Lord and Master, he was despised. He was hated. He rejected, especially with his own. Paul said in one place, I would just as soon have myself accursed for my brethren in Israel. That's how much he was. Jesus, that's when he became a curse for his brethren in Israel. They mocked him. They laughed at him. And one of the most mocking ways is not to believe. Oh, my friends, do you know the power of believing and unbelieving? If thou canst believe, all things are possible. If you will not believe, then nothing is impossible. Oh, God, as I came to this microphone today, if you'll notice now, if you will, if you're listening, some of you not even paying any mind, this is what I have to deal with.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the International Worldwide Broadcast, The Overcomer. And this is the voice of the Last Day Prophet of God. This broadcast reaches the entire world. With